I grew up in Ohio in the 70s, and me and my childhood friend Joe, one hell of a name, were outside all the time when we could manage it. Joe, the real G, lived on a farm that bordered a pretty big forest, and my parents would drop me off in the morning, and we'd stay in the woods all weekend. We'd only come out for school. We loved pretending that we're frontiersmen. We'd build lots of traps, shelters, and practice making fires with sticks. Basically the whole nine yards. Now when we got to high school, we got this notion to pull a Stand By Me. This was based on the movie of the same name that had just come out. The idea was that we'd walk the rail tracks out in the country, but instead of looking for a dead body, we'd find a cool bridge to fish from, and camp out a little way off the track. Of course, we knew this was dangerous and we're probably trespassing, but we're young and kids. Now we had a lot of fun. We did find beautiful rivers. We discovered bridges that nobody went on. We fished, hid from trains, and at night we camped in the woods near the tracks and made small hidden fires. Nothing bad ever happened. It was very calm actually. Now after school, me and Joe went our own ways. We both left home, but always stayed in touch and always tried to coordinate visits so we'd occasionally see each other. Well, one summer in the mid-90s, it worked out that we're both in the same town for about a week. We'd do other stuff with family in the day, and at night, we'd either catch drinks at the bar or sit outside Joe's house around a fire and talk about the old days. One night, me and Joe got to talking about our Stand By Me trips. Well, nostalgia and beer and a hell of a mix. Soon we decided to take a day just to walk the trails, camp one night and walk home. The day we decided on, we started out early in the morning. We actually had my wife drop us off in the old spot we used to start in, right outside our hometown. She thought this was absolutely crazy, and made sure to mention it. When she pulled away, Joe suggested that instead of walking the usual route, we take the opposite direction, just to be adventurous. We knew the land well. We had a map, so I gave her what the hell, and off we set. The day went fine. It was fun and a little sad, but in a good way. We sat on the bridge, and moved on. We had no fishing gear, but we brought some canned food and other stuff before the night set in. We pick a spot to camp in. It was a thick forested area, trees on every side of the train track, and it made you feel as though you're in a tunnel. We brought small hammocks to sleep on, but before we set them up, we decided to scout the perimeter. Now this is actually what we used to do in the old days. We'd walk the area and make sure that we're not just on some guy's house or something. We walk maybe 100 feet or so into the woods and end up on a small incline. We figured if we don't see anything from the top of this hill, we'll be good. But when we get to the top of the hill, we saw an old building down at the bottom, about 100 yards into the woods, which is barely visible. We pondered over what to do. We both assumed it was a sugar shack or something, because there didn't appear to be a clear road into it. From where we were, there didn't appear to be anyone in it. It was quiet, with no movement that we can see. No lights even. We decided to walk a little closer just to make sure. We came down the hill very slowly as we near the building, and we see it's not a sugar shack, but it's an old church. It looked as though it had been abandoned for years. It was a squat, sagging building with wooden planks that are busting out from years of moss and rot. A cross still stood on top of that place, also weathered and black, looking creepy. None of the windows had glass and there were no doors, just open doorways. We got close enough to see the inside. There were rows of pews and a built-up section for a preacher to stand on. We didn't go all the way in. We didn't wanna. Beyond all that, there were no signs of anyone, not even footprints. It was an abandoned church. We left immediately and went back up the hill to our spot, and we decided to camp there. Having a hill between us and the church made us feel safe, but we're still a little uneasy. We chalk it up to the natural creepiness of seeing a church in the middle of the woods in the middle of nowhere. Besides, at this point it's dusk and we decide to rig up our hammocks and go to sleep. By this time night sets in. Now as we lay in our hammocks, we're talking and we hear something in the direction of the church. What the hell's that? It sounds like people singing. Yeah, I know, man. And it did sound like people singing. We both slid right out of our hammocks and hunkered down, straining to hear more. We listened for a minute or two, and they're singing, but it's not getting louder. We decide to creep back up the hill to see if we can spy on whatever that is. We could move very quietly in the woods. We're used to it from before and it's like second nature now. The moon was barely out and it provided just enough light so you couldn't really see us. We didn't touch our flashlights as we slowly got up the hill, not even whispering. We got to the top of the hill and we see a light in the distance. It was coming from the church. Singing? Well, it's from inside. Joe and I put our heads close together and hushed conversations to each other. Can you hear this? I don't believe this. Craziest thing is that the light appears as though it's coming from a candle and flickering. And though we tried, we can't make out what's being sung. It sounded like church music, but in another language. We sat there for a while, trying to see who was in there, but only saw occasional shadows. We have no intention of getting closer. We have about a football field's length between us now. The singing has continued for a bit, but stopped. After that, a booming male voice began to chant. I'm already freaked out, but this voice scared the life out of me. It sounded like an Old Testament preacher that you see in movies, but again, speaking in another language, we can't differentiate any words. Eventually, it got to where the single male voice would say something, then a bunch of voices would answer. This lasted for a while, then they all broke out into the song, which is long and sustained and gets louder and louder. It got so loud it was actually disturbing enough that I covered my ears. It stopped now. At this point, I was getting ready to say, let's get out of here, when Joe puts his hand on my shoulder and says, yeah, they're coming. We're far enough away that we can't make them out really, but we can literally see a line of figures walking out of the hallway, all in single file. Some of them have flashlights and began to sing again. They're moving towards us. We booked it back down to our campsite, grabbed our stuff and ran to the tracks. Once there, we ran down the tracks into the direction we come from. After a few minutes, we stopped and looked back. We saw lights coming down the hill, erratically like they're shaking them. We sprint as quick as we can. We eventually stop seeing the lights and come to our road. But our map is really small and we're struggling to read it. We walk for about 15 more minutes and know where we are. We get to a gas station and my wife gets us. Now my wife and other friends say it's just kids messing around, but there was no way kids made them sounds. Not sure who those people were, but it definitely creeped me out. I remember that happening to me in Ohio. I'm doing seasonal work out in the Olympic National Park this summer and live in employee housing on the same property as my job. Throughout the summer, I've heard things like a giggling coming from an empty room and a sliding door that closes on its own. Now, one night about a month ago, something wild happened. The building I live in is backed up against an impenetrable coastal rainforest, and some friends and I were sitting in one of the apartment unit cabins chatting when, all of a sudden, we hear screaming coming from directly in the woods. Initially, we thought it's a cougar, but it kept going and was decidedly human sound in. Sometimes it seemed more like a sobbing, and in others it was frantic yelling. It literally goes on for 5 minutes straight, then stops. Now the truly chilling part, about 30 seconds after the yelling stops, we heard what sounded like a disembodied woman's voice coming through a radio that starts muttering right next to where we're sitting. We can't make out what she's saying, and it's only for a few seconds, but it's literally in the room next to us, and we can't see anything around. One of my friends opens the door to make sure there's nobody outside and we're completely alone. It should be added that everyone who lives in the buildings were all in the same room. Everything else was empty. Though the voice lasted for a few seconds, it stayed with me forever. When I was about 9, my family was in a big transitional phase. We moved out to a house deep in the woods in the country, and my mother to this day insists that it's haunted. My sleepwalking got really bad in those days, I mean incredibly. Sometimes I'd wake up on dirt, outside, with a blanket wrapped around me. I would look around in darkness for a light, and that would usually be my house porch light. It got so bad that my mum kind of barricaded me in at night with chairs sometimes. What scared me most, however, was not outside in the woods, near the National Forest, no. It was my room. It was on the first floor, and with the layout of the house, it was on a silent kind of slanted hill. It dug into the ground a bit. It was the closest thing to a basement possible, because it dug into the ground. There was only one window in my room. This window is in the top right corner of my room, and it was tiny. The window was right at ground level outside, so most of the time I would only see thick grass and dirt covering the glass. Sometimes when I woke up in the night though, I would see other things. Often, I saw boots stand in there. They would stand there for hours at a time, facing inwards as though someone staring at the wall, facing me. They were still toed, or looked like old leather boots. It looked as if they belonged to a man. It was so weird. The boot shifted weight sometimes back and forth, between one side and the other, as though the wearers lean in. The toe area was always scuffed too. I knew that they weren't my mother's or father's. It wasn't sleeping paralysis. I was always able to move in that. I would just sit and stare at these boots until I fell asleep. And for some reason, I always had the urge to never go and tell someone, and I don't know why. My family's already freaking out about the other experiences in the house, so I guess I didn't want to add to it. It stopped when my dad moved. Years later, and with the family camping, and all of us are telling scary stories, my father begins talking about how when he was young, he would have the sensation that something was slowly walking towards him. Has anyone ever seen it in a movie? Yeah, like that. He just explained like a pair of shoes that slowly walked towards him with malevolent intent. He goes on to explain how it stopped when he got older. I get this sour taste in my mouth. I ask my father if they're still toes. He shoots this weird look at me and nods. I say, are they made of old, dusted leather and scuffed at the front? He looked scared now and nods. He said, how do I know? And I explained my story, and he begins freaking out. It was so insane to make these realizations at the same time. And my father's room was right above mine, so someone with average height to that specific spot would have been right through to my dad's window. I've concluded that my father has spirits that follow him. I now know that they weren't there for me. I just hope they can stop. It was mid-December 2010. I was 16. I was off school for the half term and was playing video games all day basically. I lived in a small 3-bedroom semi-detached house. Due to my bedroom being upstairs and fairly small, my mum let me have the back room downstairs as my room too. This had all things in there like my PC, reptiles and guitars. We also had some doors leading into the garden near the forest. One night at around 2 a.m, I was playing World of Warcraft and using Venturoll talking to my guide friends. Pretty standard night. At the time, my sleeping pattern was awful and I was staying awake all night playing World of Warcraft. I pretty much always had my back door a little tiny bit open to let some cool air in due to the heat coming off my computer and to cool it too. This had never been a problem. We lived in a relatively quiet area. Now, our garden backs onto a small wooded area, and the only people I ever seen in there were kids making dens and playing, etc. Nothing really to be scared of. While having headphones in, I can't really hear anything outside, because of the game volume, I mean. I remembered playing and catching something out of the corner of my eye. Now, my PC desk is about 3 feet away from the double doors against the wall. Anybody outside would be able to see me sitting at the desk. I turned and saw a hand opening the door. I froze and remembered spinning around in my chair ripping out my headphones. This would be a pretty good time to add that I was home alone. My mum and dad were at a wedding party and I was fine staying home on my own. Then a man, who's about 30 years old with a shaved head and scruffy beard, is standing at my door. Well, we kind of stare at each other for a few seconds, and I ask him to close my door and get out of the garden. But he just casually walked in and stood there. I remembered freaking out a little and standing up and moving to the other side of the room. I moved towards a shelf where I had a penknife and took it out and tell him to go away. He then said that, and it chills me, he knew nobody was home. And says, let me stay on the couch until my parents' car shows up. I'm freaked the hell out. He got visibly agitated and starts walking around my room looking at my reptiles. I told him that I'm gonna call the police. I remember not being as terrified as I should have been. It was only for the reason what the situation is that I couldn't really understand what was going on. He then said something along the lines of, you know, I'll stab you long before the police ever get here. I remember then going out of my room and shutting the door behind me, so he's locked in. I never heard him walk to the door or even try the handle. He then starts really pushing on it while screaming at me to move. I weigh up my options. It seemed like the best option would be to run out of the front door and knock on the neighbor's house, but my very small dog was asleep in the bedroom and I'm not going to leave him. I know my dad kept a police cosh in the cupboard in his bedroom, so I sprinted to get it. While rustling in the drawers, I hear him going upstairs. He's now making his way through my parents' bedroom, staring at me through the banister. I'm terrified. He has a steak knife in his hands now, which I didn't see before, and he raises it up to me. I had the cosh and a penknife, but I wasn't confident. He didn't move for a bit until I asked him what he planned to do because this isn't going to end well for us. He told me he's going to go back and walk down the stairs. I heard him go through my room. I hear him slowly go through the other side. I crept back down the stairs, but what made it more intense is for some reason he turned off every single light. Before I got to the bottom of the stairs, I called the police watching the doors to see if he'd come. The police arrived 10 minutes later and my parents shortly after. They searched the woods behind my house and the fencing area and they found some used needles, gloves and a huge carpet roll and about 10 cigarettes in the same place. They suggested he must have been watching me in the dark because it would have a perfect view of my room. And what's worst, they never found him. So this is something that I've kept to myself for over 2 years now, and every time I think about it, all the hairs on my body stand up. Here's something that my girlfriend and I really like to try and forget about. So my girlfriend and I really enjoyed trying to find new hikes in Western Colorado. We decided to try a new trail that was not on the National Monument, and was far away from any other trail, was a good deal with the way out of town as well. Anyway, we're on one of the only car parks on the trailhead, and as soon as we walk in it, it gets really dark. Well, we make it all the way until the moon rose, and I stop to hug my girlfriend. Now, all of a sudden, further down the road, at least a few miles away, we hear automatic gunfire. It pops, then goes silent, then pops again. Now, this kind of thing isn't normal in my area. Now, my girlfriend said to me if she thought they were gunshots, and I say I don't think they are. Now, we're in the middle of the wilderness at this point. We decided it'd be best to turn back about 2 miles down the trail. Now, by this moment, we're on top of a very large hill covered in desert shrubs. As soon as we stop talking, we realize something's wrong. All of the insects had stopped chirping, and the crickets had stopped entirely. All of the sounds of nature were gone. My girlfriend was facing further down the trail, and I was facing back the way we come from. She looked behind me and screams. She then starts running. I was already scared, but I figured the worst it could be is some drunk idiot. I turned and looked, and I immediately ran after her. I never ran so fast in my life. The shrubs are about 2 or 3 feet high in varying spots, and when I turned around, I don't know how to describe it. It looks more like a shadow. Even with the moonlight directly shining on it, it's almost absence of any light. Now, it's already starting to stand up when I turn around. As soon as it fully rose up, I realized that I was looking up at this thing, and it had to be at least 1 foot taller than me. It had very clear skin, and bones that don't appear to be human. We sprinted back to my car, still with the whole trail being silent. I was in such a hurry when we ran to the car that neither of us realized that I hadn't taken out my keys to open the car. We're halfway through the drive when we realized that. Now every single hair on my body was raised, and even if I'm being honest, I've never felt anything like it. Every fiber of my body told me to get out of there, and I was almost paralyzed by fear that washed over me. Does anyone know what this could have been?